comic culture. Hey, you're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at 93.3 CFMU. McMaster Radio.
Still?
Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com.
Are you still podcasting?
Chris, you don't know how long I worked on that intro. I was in front of the mirror.
Yeah, and I was working on it. Yeah. Good luck with all that.
And getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter Duralia, muffing it up one more time.
Do you know, I think that sometimes we need to have a redo, like a do-over. But too bad this is live.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
I know. Yeah. You know, the good thing is for our listeners is, you know, they get what they get.
Well, that's very
true.
This
is as good as it gets. So live with it.
And somehow, this radio show has brought CFMU a multitude of a number of awards.
Because we bring quality entertainment. And quality news. We're on the cutting edge of popular culture.
Well, we're
comic book culture.
We are on the cutting edge of something.
Yes.
Being canned.
And people gravitate toward the show because they really, really want to hear what we have. Or it could be one of those things, you know, when you're driving on the side of the road and there's a wreck? Everybody slows down to take
a
look.
That's exactly what it is.
It might be that.
Yeah.
So, hey, Chris, we're back for another week to share our wealth of knowledge on comic culture.
Wealth of knowledge. Listen, you know what, Walt? It's getting close to Christmas.
It is.
And our Christmas present to our listeners
is the show.
Is the show.
No returns.
No, absolutely.
Exchanges.
And listen, we are here with the illustrious Shecky Feldstein as our producer extraordinaire. Shecky, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well here, Chris.
Good, you know? Good.
As the season would dictate, I'm in a very joyous, festive mood.
Mm.
I'm only going to assume and hope for a good show.
Yep.
I assume and hope.
Well,
ambition is one of his traits.
I pray this show can be better than the rest.
You know, it's always good to aim high.
Yeah.
Aim high.
All right, Chris. So how are we going to start the show?
Okay.
It's already off to, I think, a strong start.
First of all, we need to tell our audience that this is a show about comic books.
Yes.
We are here to champion the local comic book shop.
Indeed we are.
And
Shope.
I was going to say show and then it said shop. Anyways, listen, for our new listeners, we'd like to let them know that one of the things we like to do in the very first parts of the show is talk about issues that are coming out to your local comic book shop every week, and I have chosen three of said issues.
So these three issues that you have in your hand are available at your local comic book shop today. They're new releases.
That's right.
That's coming out new today.
That's
wow.
right.
Wow. And you have them in your hand.
I have them in my hot little hands.
Wow.
In fact, they're almost burning a hole in my hands here, so we got to get them out of there and start talking. About
yeah, right. And you know, and it, the only reason people out there can actually hear you talking about this is because of illustrious sponsors who let us talk about this sort of thing on the
air. That's
a
great point. Know? It's a very great point.
Do we have one for you this
and
week?
And these new books of this week, our sponsor is Mistletoe, the leading cause of holiday germ spreading.
Oh.
Mistletoe.
Mm-hmm. Holiday germ spreading.
I thought it was camel toe.
Well, that's a delicacy for Christmas time, I hear.
Really is. Really is.
I always get too confused.
There's nothing I love more than to show up at a neighbor's house with a big loaf of fruitcake and camel toe. Yeah.
Nothing like sharing a good holiday toe, you know?
Wow. So you brought your own slippers. Anyway, got to keep it warm.
Got to keep warm somehow. Yeah. Listen,
okay.
We are here to talk about comic books, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
So the first issue I do want to talk about here is Avengers Now Handbook. Now, Walt, you're an old comic guy.
Sure am.
You've seen a lot of camel toes come and go. A lot of toes come and go.
Yes.
Do you remember the official handbook of the Marvel Universe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is sort of actually, you know what? Around the same time, Marvel did it's like an encyclopedia of characters.
Yeah.
DC did the same thing. They did one called Who's Who.
Right.
And so Marvel is actually returning back to this, and it's called Avengers Now Handbook, and it's only for Avengers-type characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing a sort of encyclopedia of what's happening in the Avengers world right
now. I think that's cool.
All the different characters.
Oh.
But you know what's even cooler about this issue is that not only do they have the characters, so they've got Phil Coulson is in here, and they've got Nightmask and Executioner, who's one of the Avengers' nemesis, is Nick Fury and Hazmat, and even Spider-Man is in here. But one of the cool things about this book is not only do they have like the characters, they actually have the storylines. So they have, for example, they've got Avengers Initiative 1959, and then they've got what else they got here? Hold on, there's something else I saw here. The Cancerverse, and they've got all these different things that are happening in the Avengers universes over the past few years. The Avengers Update Appendix, like there's all kinds of things happening. And you know what? If you want to know anything about anything that happens to be doing with the Avengers right now, it's a great book to pick up, and sort of it's a big read, man. There's a lot of words in this book.
It's solid.
But you hate comics like that, like okay. There's a predisposition or a preconception of what comics are.
Right.
And, you know, you go home, you want to read your comic. It's a good 4 to 9 minutes. So it's and you're going there, and then you pick up something, you bring it home, and it's like, you know, From Hell by Alan Moore. It's Dark Knight Strikes Again by Frank Miller, and you go – and. You start bogging down, and you go, "Oh man, this is like work.
It's
going to
take
read.
Months.
It's
going
to take a
like
month
a school
to read."
Project.
Yeah,
to me, that's getting your money's worth.
No,
you know?
It is. You're right. But you have this kind of thing where you pick up a comic book, a floppy, like Chris has, what we call a floppy.
Yeah,
Chris is holding a floppy right now.
I don't think Chris picks up anything that isn't floppy. To be honest.
No, Chris.
You know what? The problem is that once they're bagged and boarded, they're no longer floppy
they're
anymore.
Bagged,
it gives a little stiffness.
it gives some stiffness to it.
All right, so you bring that home and you're thinking a certain thing because you're bringing a periodical home, and you get home and you go, "Wow, it's like that's a lot of reading, and that's
true,
not going to take me, you know, a nice double scotch, sipping through
it's
and reading that book. That's going to take me a whole bottle."
Yeah, one expectation and getting another.
But you know what? For the reality is, for $5, you're getting a lot of reading here for what you're paying for. Like it's a good solid book, and you know what? It's a great way to get familiarized with the characters and with the Marvel Universe.
Hey, let me plug that. Avengers Now Handbook, number one, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next one. Batman number 37, Endgame Part 3. Now, this is interesting because as far as we've seen so far, in the DC universe, ever since they restarted with the DC, the New 52, we've seen Joker as sort of being this really Leatherface-type character where he's got the extra skin, he's got the different... And in this particular issue, it's kind of creepy because he's actually holding, on the cover, he's actually holding a Leatherface type thing, but it's the Joker that we know of from 10 years ago. It's that return to the Brian Boland type Joker where it's the typical Joker that we've seen before, like the Jack Nicholson Joker with the green hair and the big grin, right? It's no longer that really creepy one, but he's holding that creepy mask.
Right.
So it's a different, it's sort of a combination of both.
Well, listen to me. Listen to me now.
Yes.
This Schneider kid.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay.
John K. Schneider.
He's doing something with Batman. He's really doing something with Batman.
Yeah.
DC, kudos to them for letting Schneider, over the last couple of years, do something really special with Batman.
Yeah.
And we've discussed on this show before, the hardest character possible to put your imprint on is Batman.
Oh, yeah. Because
he's been done so well.
By so many people. Yeah,
and for you to come in, whomping and a whooping. Really come in hard and just kind of set the standard is kudos to Schneider. And Batman number 37, Endgame Part 3, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And last up on the hit parade here, I want to talk about it is Christmas time, and sometimes parents have come to us asking what they can put in their kids' stockings as a stocking stuffer.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I've got
coal.
Coal for most kids, I'm sure.
In which case, repeat customers don't come back to Walt after he tells them
that
one
is,
thing.
That is true.
They don't come back to Walt and ask him again.
But if you're a wise parent, if you're really on the ball, you would come to your local comic book shop and pick up a Peanuts number 24 by Kaboom Press. Now, this is, of course, the Charles Schulz Peanuts, Charlie Brown and the Gang. And you know what? It's a great reproduction of a bunch of old different cartoons and comic strips from the old days. And you know what? Charlie Brown is timeless, right?
Yeah,
you know,
he is.
It really
truly
is. So, you know what? I highly recommend a great stocking stuffer for the price, like $5, less than $5, I should say. Awesome book.
Awesome. Peanuts, number 24 from Kaboom, is available at your local comic book shop, and there are tons more. So please head into your local comic book shop. They're waiting for you and peruse the new this week.
And while I usually like to be in contrast of Chris, where I say, you know, Chris, stop picking books that you only like, you know, and have a little nerd fest over.
Yeah.
It is the holiday season. I'm glad you picked three books. You actually have positive things to talk
about. Oh, see, there you go. It's true.
This is the one exception, Chris. I'll let you get away with
it. I appreciate that. Thanks. All right. Listen, do we have we're going to have a quick break for a musical interlude. What do you got set up for us there, Shexter?
Well, you know what? It's the time of year where a year from now we'll actually get to see something like this.
Oh, nice. Let's hear it.
That piece, Chris.
That was from Superman, right?
I'm not sure.
That was from Star Wars.
Yeah, I recognize.
I was joking. Yeah.
Okay, I never could tell with you.
Yeah, I know. I'm always very serious.
Very.
Yeah. It's true.
Star Wars.
Those were.
And Checky there, our illustrious producer, alluded to a year from now, meaning the new film.
Oh, you know what?
I got a good friend who calls him film.
You're right on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very impressed with you today.
And what's the new film called?
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens,
yes.
And that's coming out, I think, next December or something like that. And so we're going to start industry news after Checky reads our sponsor with a Star Wars story.
Oh, good idea.
Well, your story is Star Wars. Our sponsor, though, is by Bags and Boards, because when it's always floppy, you shouldn't be embarrassed to use something to make it stiff.
Nice.
Well, you know what? Bags and Boards. Okay, here's a quick question for it. Well, when did
Pfizer makes those? I think.
When did it become popular to start putting comic books in plastic bags and boards?
I would think the late 70s.
Yeah?
Yeah, early 80s for sure.
Kind of when the collector mentality
started
with boards too. Cuz I remember going down and buying comics in 1979 and buying like Richie Rich comics and stuff like that. There was never any boards. It was you put them in bags.
Cuz the comic shop you went to was cheap.
Well, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
That was
maybe to them it was just, "Oh, you know what? Let's just stop it from getting doggy. Let's just stop it from getting torn on the edge." And like a bag will do that, but
No, I would peg it at early 80s until it really took hold.
Yeah.
Because I remember around that time that bags and boards was the way to go. I remember going to cons in the mid 80s, say 85.
Yeah.
I mean, every dealer had bags and boards.
Right.
Their comics. Okay. So their comics in the bins were with bags and boards.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, you answered my question.
All right. So let's talk about Star Wars.
Let's talk about Star Wars, baby.
Hey, so Star Wars number one that's coming from Dark Horse.
Right.
To Marvel.
Right.
In January.
It's got nothing to do with Dark Horse.
No. Right. So basically what happened was a recap for our listeners is so I don't know if you guys know, but Disney bought Marvel.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, but before that Disney bought Star Wars.
Right.
So now Disney owns everything.
Pretty much.
So now Disney has this kind of like comic book company.
Kind of like comic book company? And something called Marvel?
But also Disney has this kind of like Star Wars property.
Right.
And some guy noticed, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Goes, hey, wait a minute. Our Star Wars property isn't produced and printed by our comic book company.
Get out.
What gives?
Oh.
Right. So
like, gag me with a spoon.
Yeah, so that guy got a raise.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they've righted that wrong, and I guess the Dark Horse license expired. They didn't renew it. And as of January, the Star Wars number one coming back home to Marvel is going to happen. And it's absolutely astounding the demand for this comic book.
Yeah.
Pre-orders have topped 1 million
copies. Come on. A million copies. Just,
You know, I have so much pleasure. It's like I'm...
About
I'm,
what?
It's like I'm saying 1 million copies of a comic book.
Well, get out of town.
Yeah.
Million.
It's because I didn't think those days would return.
You know what? I honestly didn't think so either. I thought... I never thought I would ever see a million copies of anything these days ever come back. When was the last time? What was it, like the 90s?
That 90s, you know, probably. Yeah. It's funny, though. I was reading something about it. Is... the Star Wars number one from 1977, the Marvel one?
Yep, yep.
That was, at that time, the first million-selling comic since the 1960s when the Uncle Scrooges and the Donald Ducks, you know, that whole Dell stuff
was selling a million copies
each. So once that all waned, it was the Star Wars that kind of reinvigorated.
And now it is again.
And now it is again.
That's
so it's
crazy.
Kind of
full circle type thing,
which is a great story.
Once I was but the learner, now I am the master.
I am the master.
Yeah.
Now, but so I don't know, I mean, where it's coming from and whether it's speculation. I don't want to get into, well, okay, it's all speculation. It's all these morons buying 1,500 copies so they can get 3 1-in-500 variants.
And by the way,
why are you pointing at me when you say these?
By the way, those morons are more than welcome to come and shop at your local comic book store and help support the local comic book industry.
Yeah. And pick up a 1-in-500 variant for the low price of $799.
Before tax.
You know, before tax,
yeah,
of course.
It's great how we...
But with an incentive...
But you know what?
We'll throw in a regular copy for free.
Not that we're belittling the customers at all here, especially at Christmas time.
No, I didn't mean customers. Customers No, I meant like
people
the
that,
comic shops.
Oh, right,
because trust me, there's a lot of morons that run comic shops. Well,
I think I know a couple
of those.
You know
what? You got me there. You're absolutely right.
So they're all thinking they're going to get rich off of ordering 2,000 Star Wars number ones.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man, I'm going to be selling those for $40 each a week later.
Yep. Yep.
Right. And so I don't know how much of that. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm trying to say is the tail of the tape is still to come. How many are going to be consumed by the customers is still, you know, is it going to be 300,000, 500,000?
Right.
Are all
right.
million going to be sucked up within a month?
It, right.
You know, we'll
right,
see.
Right.
Okay. And is it going to have that like immediate spark media demand where Barack Obama and Spidey or the death of Archie or whatever, the wedding of Archie, where it gets press and then you've got people stampeding down, you know,
are you saying
doors.
That Barack Obama, Spidey, and the death of Archie are all going to be on a Star Wars cover?
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
You didn't hear it from me, folks. You know,
now that's a comic.
Yeah, that's insider information. Yeah. You can only get on Comic Culture on 93.3.
We're not saying it's going to happen.
CFMU.
But, you know, if it does,
it should happen.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. McMaster Radio.
All right, listen.
Anyway, so that's cool. I'm excited about it. I think it's good times for and the reason I'm excited about it the most, I think, is this is good for local comic book shops.
Yes, absolutely.
And you and I, if we do nothing, what do?
We like to champion the local comic book shop.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this is music to our ears.
Right.
And we wish Star Wars all the success with the number one. And we encourage everybody to go in and pick
absolutely.
You know, 17, 25 copies up.
You know what I'm really curious about? Issue number two. to see how that does.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always
you know?
That's
you never know.
Test,
you never know.
Yeah. 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 But anyway, that's good. That's good news on
when's
on
that
the
coming out,
front.
By the way? Do you know when that's
January.
Coming out?
I don't know the week in January, but right. It is sometime in the new year in January. So.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Listen, we need to. We'll
segue right into.
The theme parks.
Yeah. The
okay.
theme parks, which
listen.
Involves Star Wars.
Okay. So Doctor Who, Star Trek, and Star Wars theme parks are apparently becoming a big thing. Believe it or not.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that? So BBC Worldwide is basically telling people that there's going to be new theme parks being done. Where was it? In Kent, England?
Kent.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is that where Danny Champion lives?
I say.
What's that going up there, Madge? It's a theme park, love.
Danny Champ used to live in London, and now he's living in South Africa.
South Africa. Yeah.
Ooh.
Right.
Right. Struth.
Right.
Isn't that what they say down there?
Struth.
Is he bringing the good comic gospel to those South
Africans?
He's trying.
He's trying.
Spreading the good word. Spreading the good word.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going down there with his proper Victorian English. Tip, old man. They're going, heck, this guy come from?
Well, listen.
Run him out of the country.
There's a new basically, the BBC is going to be using the properties that they already have, kind of like Doctor Who, Sherlock, and that kind of thing. And there's going to be a new park being built that's going to cost $2
billion
pound sterling.
$2
billion. Pound sterling. That's $3 billion U.S.
So when you say $2 billion pound sterling, you just say $2 billion pound sterling. And then you add the dollar conversion.
I should have said dollars. You're right. It's
never mind. All right.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. We'll discuss it after the show.
Thanks for pointing out the flaws. You know. Okay. Hey, Walt. Merry Christmas. Hey, pal.
Hey. Yeah. Happy New Year, buddy.
However, I do have to say, it's
a pepper lip, old man.
It's going to be kind of sci-fi-ish, but I mean Sherlock. So does that mean you're going to have to like? You get into like a haunted house, maybe, but you have to solve a puzzle to be
here's
able to get
my
out.
Problem.
So you're locked in for 8 hours and
here's
you
my
solve
problem.
The mystery.
Exactly. Here's my problem with the BBC Sherlock Holmes theme park.
Okay, what's your problem?
Okay, don't take this the wrong way.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Yep,
theme parks are pretty dumbed down. And Sherlock Holmes is pretty kind of intellectual.
Right?
So you got to dumb down Sherlock Holmes to get, like, just, you know, the throngs to come in.
Okay.
You're not going to get these pretentious kind of, book reading clubs to go into. It's not going to make you enough money, right?
Hold on.
So you got to make Sherlock Holmes some, I don't know what the heck you got to make him. What you don't want to make them, you got to make them in order to get the masses to come.
If Universal Studios can make an Angela Lansbury Murder, She Wrote ride.
They did?
Is it just like...
It's like an attraction.
I stand corrected.
Like a lazy river thing, you just felt, listening to the theme music?
I stand corrected.
Take a nap or something?
Wow.
if Universal Studios can make an attraction based on Murder, She Wrote, I'm pretty sure BBC can do a Sherlock anything.
Chris, I stand correct. No, that's wonderful. But, so I guess there's other news in that they're working on. I think Marvel is working on updating the Star Wars parks.
So closer to home, it says here, Disney CEO Bob Iger has revealed that the new Star Wars attractions for its parks will be based on the new movies made under the Disney regime, not the first six, according to these already attractions
based
on the early films.
That just makes tons of sense. That
yeah.
makes sense.
But you know what?
But it's a reinvestment, right? It's retooling.
That's
what it is.
And here's the problem.
Here's the thing.
You know, I went to Disney in like the early or late 70s, like in 1979, 77 or something like that. I was at the Disney theme parks. I was there again in the 80s. I didn't go again for long time.
I think I did the early mid 90s when I was a kid.
I was
taking there twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now since then, I went back again a few years ago. And a lot of the – some of the rides that – for example, the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Right? So they had already made the movie and they revamped it and retooled it. And it was not the same ride. It didn't have the same feeling that it had when it was in the 70s.
Is it better or worse?
Well, it was just different.
Right.
I didn't like it. But I'm sure for kids who are familiar now with Jack Sparrow.
Sure.
And Davy Jones and all those newer characters, I'm sure they loved it because now all of a sudden they were bringing – Disney was bringing those movies to life – whereas that didn't happen before. Right. I didn't like it because it wasn't the same old thing. It didn't have that same nostalgia for myself. Mm-hmm. But I can see where Disney is like, hey, you know what? People want to have that tie-in, and whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. So I can see why Disney would want to use the new movies as opposed to the old movies as part of their attractions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I don't know, like like revamping and updating is something that, you know, has to be ongoing.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And or else you turn into I don't know, I mean, like, look at the properties that have kind of grown old and stale and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is one of those ones that is reinventing himself. Yeah. And updating itself. And for the theme park, you can't be on that old Luke Skywalker thing.
Yeah,
that's
and,
right.
And to be fair, Chris, you know, you're not the spring chicken that you were when you first visited.
No, that's right, yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure they don't gear their today's Pirates of the Caribbean to your age.
No, for sure.
You know, as
sure.
opposed to the 8-year-olds that they get who saw the Jack Sparrow
that's
and
right,
the drunk
right.
Johnny Depp character.
Yeah. No, you know? I completely agree, yeah.
Well, it's funny because there's so much, like look at Doctor Who. Look at what's the other BBC thing?
Sherlock
Holmes. You know, they're coming up with theme parks for it. So the trend is to take properties,
right,
and just make theme parks.
Right,
now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that happens.
So,
that happens a lot.
And I mean, as you guys know, I'm really connected in the industry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you get a lot of emails from CEOs.
Are you saying that we have an opportunity to make a comic culture theme park?
That might be in the works. I don't know. We'll have to ask Jamie over at CFMU.
Now you're in the know.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of emails. Now, is this part of the Sony leaks emails, or is this
no? It's the Camel Toe leak email that I got.
That's a slippery slope.
The other way.
Yeah.
So I got an email saying, "Hey guys, there's a lot. You know, the venture capitalists. There's an email where people are trying to put their money into theme parks because that's the rage, right? So they're looking at other properties to put theme parks in. So there were a few floated, and I got an email from a board meeting on proposed theme parks that people can put their money into, and it's really interesting. There is a Cabbage Patch Park." planned to be built outside of Kiev, Ukraine.
Well, you know,
some of the exhibits include Babushka's Borscht World and the pierogi roller coaster, right? So, that's cool, right? But I don't know if that's going to work or not. There's the Bob Hope theme park plan.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
I mean, the shtick there is golf. Gags and girls.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that would work. Let's say in Arizona or something that.
Yeah. They got to make that trend into like one flowing thing. Playing golf while gagging girls. Well, it just flowed better. Oh. That's how I heard it.
No, you heard it wrong.
The words of Bob Pope. Is this thing on?
All right. There is the Daisy Dukes theme park.
Oh, I like
that was proposed. It was actually a theme park / prison colony.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know what's going on there, but I don't think that one worked.
Probably
Speaking
not.
Of hybrids, there's the Gomer Pyle Army Recruitment Theme Park.
Oh, okay. So what exactly? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Golly. No, somebody, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of money going around, Chris, and they're looking for a place to go. There's the Peter North theme park. The slogan is, come and enjoy yourself.
he's the guy that was in part of the Iraqi hearings or you know, the...
The Iran-Contra.
Iran-Contra.
There's the Easy Bake Oven theme park.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's actually, though, because it's counterintuitive. You think it's a kid's thing, but it's actually a couple's theme park where it's like some of the planned attractions include the one-in-the-oven pregnancy spa or the... Dutch oven marriage counseling.
You know what? Dutch oven marriage counseling.
Yeah, Dutch oven marriage counseling. You know what, Chris? These things don't grow on trees.
They really
don't. There's the Pussy Galore theme park.
Oh, James Bond.
James Bond. Rides include the Slippery Slope. The Tunnel of Love.
Oh, nice.
And, of course, the Camel Toe Show.
I hear that's a good show.
Yeah, and it's a really good show. And
really good shoe.
And what else is there? I'm trying to look here. I think there's the there's the Slinky theme park.
Oh, that'd be good.
Well, you spend 5 minutes playing, and 5 hours trying to get yourself figure out how to get out of the ride.
Oh, that's so true.
Boy, too bad I had to end on that one.
Oof, that was the last one.
That's the last
one.
Don't
invest on that one. There was the
Dragnet theme park.
The old Slinky
show. Dragnet theme park, the first transsexual theme park.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good.
So, I mean, and you know, that's where the world is going. And
I'm surprised there isn't one of those already.
I know.
Yeah.
There's the Peter Lorre theme park.
Oh, really? Peter Lorre, eh? Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre theme park, That one got as good a response from the board meeting as it got from you.
Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre. This is a great theme park.
You know, he was in. I remember seeing him in a Edgar Allan Poe movie.
Woo!
Edgar Allan Poe. He was. Well, it was one of his stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
anyways,
how do we end this?
I don't know.
If I were on the Dragon's Den, I would say. That's okay. You can keep your product and move along.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what? Theme parks make a lot of money. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, theme parks do make a lot of money, and obviously there's a future in it. Look for at least one of these
to
catch and be in your local backyard.
I'm looking forward towards the Peter North.
No. I'm hanging on for Pussy Galore.
Yeah, that would be a good few good rides in that one.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Listen, you know what? Do we possibly please have a musical interlude after that? Wonderful display of.
Allow me to put your brain to rest.
Yeah, it's hurting right now. Yeah,
we do definitely have something. A little bit of Krantz.
Nice. Let's hear it.
Nothing says Christmas like Krantz.
Krantz Christmas. You know what? I wish there was like a Spider-Man Krantz Christmas album.
I'd buy it.
I would buy it too. Yeah,
wow.
That would be awesome.
That's a great idea.
All right, listen. You know what?
Now, are there kids, you know, the Krantz kids?
Krantz kids.
The guys, the kids of the guys and the girls that played in Krantz. You know how you go.
I don't know what you're talking
about. No, what I'm saying is there's like Ricky Nelson's kids are playing Ricky Nelson stuff on tour.
Right.
Dweewee Zabba is playing Frank Zappa stuff on stuff.
Saying, yes.
So we need the Krantz kids to make a Krantz band.
Awesome. Well, the thing is, they're not actually Krantz. Krantz was we call it Krantz. Krantz was the production company.
No, I know that, but I'm saying like the musicians in the Krantz production company.
They should do that.
That's what I meant, right? So we need that. It's not like the what's the Von Braun kids from the Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
What's the kids called? Von Tramp.
Von Trapp. Von Tramp.
Hey, listen. You can say what you want about her, but you can't.
Sorry.
Can't say that.
I won't talk poorly about her again. Hey, okay. Listen, we do it. You know, we really should continue talking about comic books.
Probably.
Shecky, you got a sponsor for us?
Absolutely. Keeping us on the airwaves during this holiday season, sponsor for Industry News Part 2 is Star Wars Tube Socks. The best gift of the season is the item where you can slide inside your favorite character.
Oh, that is true.
Sliding inside.
That is true.
Something to be said for that.
These days, you know, they want to slide inside.
They get right in there.
Yep.
Listen, what are we talking about next? Are we going with DC?
Yeah, let's talk about DC canceling 13 titles. That's now, what's the DC shtick? They got 52 going?
Yeah.
So they got a quarter of their run. It's just gone. See ya. 52
going?
Yeah.
Some have been dropped, but then other ones came.
In the ad,
so there's always 52.
I believe so.
Is this removing 13? So are they down to 39 now?
Pretty well.
As of right now,
that's good math there from Shekster.
Well,
so does that mean...
College boy.
Wow.
So, you know, it's been like, I don't know, 28 years since the new 52 came out, and new 52 is still branded on the top. Is it going to be the new 39 now?
No, because what they're doing is they're canceling them in their, I believe, March. March? Yeah. And the March thing. And then they have this 2-month thing, that convergence. Remember how DC, the headquarters, is moving to California?
Yes.
And they're doing this 2-month thing of, it's called a convergence, where they're, I don't know, there's some sort of event.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
These 13
it's
cancellations,
like a crisis type thing,
whatever it is, I'm not sure. Because I mean, like, we're just comic culture. Why would we know about something like that?
Why would a news radio?
Why would a show about comic books know about
DC's
convergence? So that event happens March, April, I guess. So May, April, May. And then in June, DC is promising, I guess, some sort of – they're clearing the deck. They're retooling the line. They're redoing the DCU. So come June, we can expect like pretty well a brand new DCU.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, except for all their major titles, like all like their Batmans and Supermans.
Would it be like a new, new 52?
Yeah, but hold on, guys. Let's look at the stuff that they're canceling. Okay, yeah, they're canceling Infinity Man.
Yeah.
You know, with 9,000 sales a month.
And they're canceling Star Spangled War Stories featuring G.I. Zombie. I can't believe that's not.
I honestly thought that would stick.
To be fair, their whole new 52 idea was what a shtick to base on, like, oh, we've got, you know, a title for every week of the year or whatever. Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
To spread to that many titles and try and have a shtick?
But hold on, though. Hold on. You know, okay, Clarion, and yeah, it's gone, whatever. And there's a couple of Green Lantern titles gone. Green Lantern, New Guardians, and Green Lantern Core.
Yes,
which
I'm
surprises
I'm surprised about that.
Yeah. But, and Red Lanterns.
Well, Green Lantern Core, with 34,000 issues being sold a month,
that's
not bad.
It's not bad for today's comic book world,
that's not
right?
Bad.
But maybe it's, there was just a, you gotta remember, Green Lantern 3 years ago was like a big thing.
Right, right.
And perhaps just the Green Lantern title is enough now because it's kind of come down to earth in a sense. So
especially
they don't.
After the film tanked.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and that's,
their hopes were,
I
anyway.
Think that's a repercussion for the film property not doing as well as they thought it would, right?
Yeah.
But there are Batman, because I thought they're going to add 13 new Batman-related titles, because that's the only stupid thing that sells, right? So, but Arkham Manor and, what is it, Batwoman.
Batwoman,
And probably even World's Finest. World's Finest,
World's
they're doing
Finest
differently
has
now.
Huntress and Power Girl.
Yeah, exactly, So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to add. It'd be interesting to see what they're going to add. Are they going to add a lot of Batman titles?
Here's my prediction.
Here's Chris's prediction.
My prediction is that they're going to add more titles that are related to their core.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe one or two more from each of Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman.
Right, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman.
Also, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they add
Arrow, Flash type stuff.
More Arrow, Flash, and Suicide Squad type stuff, because more villain related books.
Like maybe Harley Quinn, another title,
like a Joker book. A Deadshot book.
So what they're maybe trying to do is coordinate their line with their movie universe.
Trim the fat and keep it tight to the movie sequence, their movie universe.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that makes tons of sense, because like we've always preached to everyone who for some reason keeps listening to us. These are the testing grounds. These are the R&D of films, really, all these comic books. So test, you know, a little bit more of an extensive archive of all your upcoming film projects and everything, right?
I agree. Yeah. I think that's what they're going to do. Yeah. And but you know, the good thing with DC is they've already set the precedent here with the new 52 is they've done this continuously. They've gone 6 months, 8 months. You know, usually it's their bottom six.
Yes.
They go, okay, this is not selling. Yeah, 13 is a bit severe. But I think, though, like what Schechter says there, is that they're revamping and retooling because what? Just a couple of months ago, they announced that massive 5-year plan, and that's they may be tweaking their new 52 to be aligned with the 5-year plan.
And I would not disagree with you. Green Lantern Court having 34,000, you know, let's say issues sold.
Yep,
that may be great, but Green Lantern might not fall into like the next immediate 2-year plan. You know, because remember, Green Lantern the film is still fresh in people's minds. They may not care to try and toy with it, and everyone's saying, "Oh, well, you know, Green." Think of Daredevil, the film.
Yeah.
If that film were to come out again in 2 years, everyone would just keep remembering Daredevil the Tank.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think when we had, it was last week or the week before, we talked about the DC movies coming out. I think Green Lantern was one of the last ones to have his own title, own movie.
Right.
And I think that's because people they're trying to get people to forget about it, right? So, you know, Shecky might be onto something here.
Yeah, that's a change. Shecky, you're onto something.
I'm not saying it again. Hold on. Nope, that's it.
I have support.
You should have listened
to this show.
Should have been listening the first time.
All right. Hey, let's move on.
Are you talking about Free Comic Book Day?
Let's talk about Free Comic Book Day quickly. We'll revisit Free Comic Book Day again in the new year.
This is very preliminary. Mm-hmm. However, you know, already they're talking about Free Comic Book Day for May the 2nd, 2015. Diamond has released the gold sponsor book list. Now, this isn't surprising. So these are the people that are giving they're supporting it the most, the gold sponsors. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are really, you know, they're making brand new books usually for the free giveaway kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and the trend this year, even like they're moving, like there was a trend with Free Comic Book Day. It's what is it, year 14?
I believe.
Already? Yeah, 14th annual. There was a trend in the middle there when it really caught on.
Yeah.
There's a trend in the middle there to really kind of go hardcore with the Conan type stuff and all that stuff. But I think the trend is reversing back towards young readers.
Yes, I agree.
Which is a good thing. And a lot of the gold sponsor things are aimed towards young readers because that was the whole premise of Free Comic Book Day to begin with,
right?
Is to get jump on points for young readers to enjoy these characters and fall in love with these characters and follow them basically through their lives, right?
Well, and then you're right, because for a little while there, the real fringe comic book companies were started to release their own books for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool. Like, so Fantagraphics or Ron Quarterly or whatever it was at the time would come up with these sort of weird alternative type comics. And I think they're really going back towards this whole, you know, younger audience.
Yeah. Type. And you can see it with, you know, Marvel, DC, Image, like Image with kind of all their, you know, adult content type stuff. They're doing Savage Dragon, which isn't exactly for kids, but it's not exactly
it's more superhero.
Yeah, it's not their saga either, right?
It's not what do you call it, Walking Dead either.
Yeah, exactly. So
good to see that Archie Comics is having a special here. As well as include sneak peeks of the Shield, Black Hood, and the Fox. Now, this is part of their whole Dark Circle comics preview.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
Which is kind of a new imprint that they're doing for their comics, right?
Yeah.
Now, Archie, though, traditionally has never done well in the superhero realm. I don't know if many people know. I'm going to pull my Walt, the old comic guy, historian type thing here. I'm going to tell you a little tale. I'm going to tell you a little tale, Chris, about the Silver Age of comics when the Golden Age of comics passed and the heroes all died off.
Yep.
And the only – you're a comic connoisseur.
Yes.
There were three – superheroes that never left print. They may have been printed sporadically, but they survived the Wortham years. They survived the late 40s, early 50s, all the kind of Senate committees in the U.S. All other heroes ceased production.
That's
of the thousand heroes that were there,
all done.
All of them died, except three that continued to print all the way through.
That's right.
Can you tell me the three?
Of course I can.
Yes.
Batman,
yes.
Superman,
yes.
And Wonder Woman.
Wonderful. Yes. You are a good man.
Well, you know,
a
comic historian. About it, yes.
So, but during the time there's a 4 or 5 year lull where there just those three were being printed and right. all the rest of them died off. There was kind of little probes sent out to see if
superheroes
would catch on again.
Yeah.
And Archie did that. Archie Comics, the MLJ Publishing was called there.
Right.
They did the Fly, a whole bunch of stuff in the 50s there, the Jaguar. Yeah.
Wasn't the Shield one of them?
The Shield was one of them. Yeah. And they never caught on.
No.
And for all of Archie's illustrious career and as a publisher, all their success was with Archie Andrews.
You know what's very interesting, though? If you look at Archie, and we've talked about this before on the show, if you look at Archie Comics in general, they are constantly pushing the boundaries as to what comic books are offering. Mm-hmm. So now it's sort of interesting that you're saying this now, because so really, before superheroes were popular again, they were trying to push superheroes.
Yeah.
Right? They were the first ones to devote an entire comic with Kevin Keller.
Yeah.
You know, to the homosexual
first kind of like, openly gay
openly
type
gay,
character.
You know, they constantly push the boundaries of what's acceptable in comics.
Yeah.
And it's funny that it's Archie that's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And then, in a way, MLJ, it all started kind of by accident.
How so?
In a sense, well, Pep Comics, which was the title that started in 1939, whatever,
first
40. But that started as like a Shield property, like a superhero property.
Right.
Hangman, I think, was in there.
Yeah.
And so it was a 6-page backup story in Pep number 22 from 1941 that they threw this little bucktooth kid in, you know, like that was like a misfit, but the girls liked him for some reason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny how kids that were starting to read, they gravitated toward that.
Weird.
And within a year, Archie ruled that title, and he pushed out the superheroes from that title, from Pep.
Yeah.
And he took over, and then Archie got his own title, and then through Pep and Archie and 700 other Archie titles, it just magic happened.
It's kind of like the Spider-Man sort of craze, and the relatability of
the
young readers.
I think that's what it is.
You know?
I think that's what it is. And but you're right, though. I mean, Archie coming in with the Dark Horse thing, and I hope that their reinterpretation of their heroes works this time.
Yeah,
I know,
so
though.
Too,
But
interestingly enough, so Archie's going to have a special. Bongo Comics, which will have the Simpsons stuff, they're going to have a special. Boom Studios will have stuff. Now, Boom's cool because they get stuff from all over the place. They'll have Garfield, Peanuts, Regular Show.
Yeah.
They'll have Jim Henson's Labyrinth.
Mouse Guard.
Adventure Time, all over the place.
Which is huge now. Adventure Time is
massive.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I like this one. United Plankton Pictures.
Yes.
Plankton. So are we talking SpongeBob?
Yeah. So they're going to have SpongeBob Freestyle Funnies. This is actually featuring a 22-page story by Graham Annable. And he's I'm pretty sure he's a good Canadian boy there.
Nice.
I think he went to Sheridan.
Oh, very good.
So he does Grickle Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to have IDW is going to have some Transformers stuff. Viz, which is still going strong. They'll have Pokemon stuff. Image, as you said before, is going to have Savage Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Now, interestingly enough, Dark Horse in the past used to have Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
Now,
yes, they did.
Now,
yeah,
they won't have that this year because now they're going to have... Now, this is crazy. So they're going to have a premiere look. Do you remember the movie Fight Club?
Yes, I do.
With Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
So Chuck Palahniuk.
Winnipeg boy.
Yeah. Apparently, they're going to have him and Cameron Stewart, who, you know, he did Catwoman, did a lot of crazy books for DC.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a new Fight Club book, which I think is awesome. There's going to be a new Goon story from Eric Powell.
Excellent.
And Guillermo del Toro's book, The Strain.
That's very adult-oriented.
Very adult. Yeah. Very
Guillermo
adult.
Del Toro, he's like the biggest horror sort of creative mind out of Mexico, right?
Yep.
Obviously.
Grindhousey type stuff, right?
And other than Pacific Rim, which was just like a big flashy popcorn blockbuster, which, you know, didn't do... Everything he comes up with and writes, other than that, like, I mean, his own creative stuff, hits it out of the park. So, you know what?
Yeah.
If this is something out of his own mind, this could be a title that could be something very interesting to watch.
Absolutely, yeah. Marvel Comics is going to have a Secret Wars crossover, and of course, DC, forever being secretive, They're going to have a top secret comic coming out that won't be have any information until its release.
Right. Yeah. All right. I think it has to do with that whole re-imaging.
It's like they don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can't possibly tell you because it's top secret.
Oh God! Listen, I can't reveal this kind of stuff. It's top secret.
Well, hold on. When does Batman Superman come out?
June, I think.
Hey, of this coming. What you do? You know what you say, Chris?
No. I think it's 2016 now, isn't it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking, because if it's all top secret, hush, hush.
No. It's top secret because it ties in with that...
Convergence
thing.
But
and
could it be like a JLA, Batman, Superman, whatever thing? I don't know.
You know what, Shecky? It can be whatever you want it to be.
Listen, we should have a quick musical interlude here. Can you get some music ready for us? We really need to kind of lay things down a little bit.
Lay it down.
I'm hot on the heels of this whole DC thing, I'm claiming it's JLA.
All right, let's hear some good DC music then.
So what else would I do then?
All right, nice. Call the roll, call the roll, call the roll, call the roll, call the roll of the Justice League of America. Superman! Here! Aquaman! Here! Wonder Woman! Here! Flash! Here! Metamorpho! Here! Plastic Man! Here! And Batman! Here! Yeah, here they come! Hey, look out, jump! It's the Justice League! The Justice League! Superheroes all always on the ball! It's the Justice League! The Justice League! It takes big trouble with a capital B! A super colossal calamity! A tremendous, stupendous catastrophe! To bring them all out swinging! And when they're swinging, man, they're bringing big trouble with a capital T! For any super, super enemy! On Earth or in space or land or sea, hey, do they put on a show anywhere the four winds blow? When they get the call, watch them go. The Justice League, yeah, the Justice League. Yeah, I love that. You know what? If you listen to that, that's a great song. Yeah.
If you listen to that closely, I think it's just one guy. Wonder Woman.
You know what I find funny, though? This was a song from, what, the 60s?
Yep.
Chris, you would know. You watched the cartoon probably.
This isn't from any cartoon.
No?
This is from, like, it's like one of those radio albums, those vinyl albums that they had to produce.
That's a Sonny and Cher album, I think.
You know what I find amusing, though, is that it's obviously from a day gone past, because the wimpiest, most pathetic voice of the here, is Batman at the end. Here. And, you know, they wouldn't dare make Batman sound so insignificant and puny nowadays, and right?
He'd be all cool and detached. Like, here.
I like Metamorphos, though. He's like, here.
Here.
What do you want from me? I'm here.
All
right, listen, Shaky's got a sponsor.
Oh.
Absolutely. So we're entering our final stages of the show, and it's brought to
finally.
You. Counting down the minutes. And it's brought to you by the David Hasselhoff theme park, where every ride is you alone and Kit from Knight Rider with a Baywatch babe.
Oh,
nice.
Who wouldn't pay to go to see that? I mean, to ride that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. We have a little bit of time left at the show, and as promised a month ago, we're going to here at Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. We're going to talk about Christmas.
Who made that promise? I don't want that promise.
We did. Chris and I, if for anything, we're honest as the day is long.
What does that mean, by the
way? I never knew, but I really like the sound of it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It sounds good.
Someone smart may have said that before him, so he just stole it.
Undoubtedly.
And so we're going to talk about Christmas as it relates to your local comic book shop. Now, what's today? Today's the 17th. What is it?
17th.
It is like, if it's not hot and heavy today, it's not hot and heavy at all.
Ever.
Right?
That's
ever.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, people are flocking into their local comic book shops.
Yep, flocking.
They're flocking in because it's Wednesday.
You didn't say flocking, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
what else would I say?
I'm just checking.
And they're flocking in to their local comic book shop. And they got the thing toe above the door when they walk in.
The thing toe.
Camel toe?
Well, from the Fantastic Four.
The mistletoe.
Yeah, mistletoe. Oh, that's what I meant.
Sorry, it's the wrong toe.
Not the camel
wrong
toe.
Kind of
no,
toe.
No, no. So they're in, the ambiance of the place is Christmassy.
Yeah.
They got the little cutout Santas.
You got the Charlie Brown music playing.
Charlie Brown music playing, yeah, James Brown Christmas playing, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to pick up their new this week comics.
Okay, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the great part about this time of the year, there's competition in the comic shop.
Oh.
For the counter.
Okay, how so?
With people that haven't got a clue what they're doing in that shop.
Right.
They are deer in headlights. They are lost. Okay?
Yeah, that's fair.
These are the people that have been told that somebody on their list enjoys comics.
Yeah.
And that they should head to their local comic book shop.
Yeah.
You know, full of fear and trepidation.
As right. they should have.
Yeah. And so they're walking into their local comic book shop, and they're seeing the regulars, and they're seeing the customers. And you and I are going to today, I guess, help or coach or maybe instruct or maybe pep rally
okay.
the local comic book community to welcome these people, to help these people.
Welcome, friends.
Welcome, friends.
In
yes.
5 minutes or less.
In five okay, minutes or so less. So especially the staff. The mm-hmm. staff of the local comic book shop have to play this right.
If they're worth their salt.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, they have
to be more friendly and overly jovial and accepting of everyone who walks in. You know what? You may not love Spidey, which I love, but I'm going to help you out and help your daughter love My Little Pony, and I'm going to show you where that is.
Well, that's the yeah. problem in a way.
Yeah.
11 months of the year, whatever it is.
Yep.
The local comic book shop people deal with local comic book shop customers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know,
you get these people that haven't got a clue.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't know why they want to get out as quick as possible because they're afraid.
First of all, one of the best things to do for a non-regular customer of uh-huh. a comic book shop.
Now, you've, Chris, worked. I got to interject here.
Yeah. Because
you're not just listening to some schmo, you know, killing time.
No.
Chris Owen has worked, what? You got probably 35-year experience?
Roughly, yeah.
In local comic book shops. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you know what? Honestly,
you know what you're talking
one
about.
Of the best things for anybody that's coming into a comic book shop for the first time, first of all, it's not scary.
Mm.
Okay, I can understand back in the 1970s or early 80s where it was a dark and dingy hole in the wall and the floors
really
were dirty.
It's really an unknown location.
An unknown yeah. thing. You know what? Comic book shops are not scary anymore. They're chock full of pop culture references that you will understand once you walk into them.
Right.
Now, there may be some, you know, unfamiliar faces, but it's not a scary place. What you need to do as for someone who is a sort of new to the comic book shop is come prepared with a list. Just
yes.
like if you're going to the mall
uh-huh.
or going
yeah.
grocery shopping, you're going to have a list. Come to the comic book shop with a list of the things that you're looking for. And
you're absolutely right. At least know my son, my nephew, loves Spider-Man. Like
uh-huh.
have something,
yeah. Yeah.
at least a little bit of...
Yeah.
Of insight into what world to delve into.
Absolutely.
It's not them I'm worried about so much as the community of comic book shops. I've seen it at my store. I swear I've seen it at my store. I've seen customers getting on the high horse and riding in and saving the day and helping a customer
oh, yeah.
that doesn't know what
that's
he's
right,
at.
Because yeah,
that's
yeah.
what local comic
yeah.
shop customers are like.
Right, right.
We're helpful. We're so happy
you
and
know,
proud that somebody else is in here and we want to yeah. share our
yeah,
knowledge
yeah.
and stuff. Oh, right, because yeah. maybe the staff is busy.
Yeah.
And you know, like, so, but what I'm saying is for the staff and the local comic book community is to be aware that there's a lot of people in there.
That's right.
And we want to
yeah.
make that experience for them
it
rewarding
that,
and the best possible.
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. And you know what? But come prepared. Just like, you know, just like we talked about going to a comic book convention,
mm-hmm.
going to a comic book store, it can be overwhelming for someone
yeah.
who's not used to it. For someone who's walking into a comic book store for the first time because it's chock full of stuff that you've maybe never seen before and you have no idea where to begin.
Yeah,
right?
And it can be like walking into Chapters and just looking around at this, you know, 50,000 square foot palace of
yeah.
books and literature and saying, where do I begin looking?
Yeah.
Guys,
you know?
Have I ever told you my body shop? I have. Can I share the
what?
Body shop
sure.
The body shop experience
just
I
go
had?
Ahead.
Is
just
that
go
like
ahead.
Your muscle
so,
building?
Yeah. No, no, no. So I went
exercise?
To the mall like
oh.
20 years ago. You know, I have yeah. to get something for the missus. And it's like, man, it's like December 23rd.
Yeah.
I'm under pressure. I'm really struggling, right? And back then, remember the body shop?
Yeah.
With all those scented soaps and
yeah,
stuff
and
like that?
Yeah, all the gift packages
gift
and
packages
yeah.
and stuff. So I swear to you. So everything's kind of derelict-y except the body shop. It literally, I'm not lying, it has a line of 40
yeah.
all 40. There was not one female in that line. There's 40 guys snaked outside the door, right?
Yeah.
All last-minute guys that screwed up,
so
basically.
So there's 41 when you joined.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so, but the thing, though, is you don't even have to wait to get inside. They had this poor girl with the clipboard come out. And she's going, basically, she's going, you know, as she's going down the row, I'll go, hi, sir. She's not even asking you what you want. All she's asking you is, how much do you want to spend? Right? So you go like, oh, $100? Okay. And by the time you got in, they had $100 basket ready for you. Yeah. Like, you're an idiot.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so you didn't have to think.
Marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm trying to think of how the local comic book shop could do this. If only, but there's not.
It's,
because
it's too much variety.
Yeah. Because there's nobody stupider than a guy late for, you know, buying a gift for the missus, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
You know what? Listen,
or anything more common.
We've run out of time, but quickly, just to say to people listening, try the comic book shop out because there's lots of cool stuff there. And
you have a week notice now.
Yes.
Get in there and get some insight into what they want.
That's right. All right. Listen, Walt.
Comic Culture, produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer, engineered by Chris Owen. You're listening to us at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
Please go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.